Global markets are keeping an eye on Syria. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. After a suspected chemical attack in Syria over the weekend, President Trump tweeted this morning that missiles will be coming and that Russia should get ready. It's an apparent response to a Russian pledge to shoot down a missile strike. In another tweet, the president said relations with Russia are worse now than they've ever been. Here with us to discuss market reaction to all this is Julia Coronado. She's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. So, Julia, how closely are markets watching what's going on in Syria? What's the concern here?
Well, I think it's not just a question of Syria, but the possibility of a broader proxy war with Russia and other Middle Eastern countries. So I think there's good reason to be nervous. It shouldn't be overstated. We're sort of in the range the market's been in, but it is overshadowing some pretty important economic data that we got this morning on consumer inflation.
Right. That data showed that inflation is actually around the Fed's 2% target. So why do you think that's not getting more play in the markets?
Well, I think, again, it's just the political developments are overshadowing this. And I don't think that the inflation data is not bad news. It is news that the Fed has been waiting for a long time. I don't think that it will lead them to speed up interest rate hikes, but it keeps them on course and it's welcome news. But if the market were looking at that or were paying attention to inflation, we would expect bond yields to be rising a bit. Instead, they're falling on risk aversion and flight to safety. And again, that reflects the political backdrop, which is, at least for the moment, the dominant force.
Julia Coronado with Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks, Julia.
My pleasure.
Compared with other credit cards, a gas station credit card can be a bit of a lemon. That's because they typically carry higher interest rates and fewer rewards, according to a new report out this morning from creditcards.com. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein explains.
There are several reasons people should consider steering clear of these cards, says Kimberly Palmer with the personal finance site NerdWallet. Interest rates, according to this new report, are 7% on average higher than general purpose cards. Plus, she says, the rewards aren't as good.
If you have a gas rewards card, you're going to get a certain amount back per gallon. With the rewards, the gen rewards cards, you're getting cash back per dollar that you spend.
Palmer explains as the price of gas climbs, the return for those gas station cardholders shrinks. People tend to save more from cash back programs than cheaper fuel. Roughly 10% of Americans have at least one gas card, according to the most recent NerdWallet survey. CreditCard.com's Matt Scholl says there's another reason these cards drive consumers nuts.
They could fuel your debt. That would be one thing. Driving you crazy, driving your debt higher.
Cringe-worthy lines aside, Scholl says many consumers would be better off if they tapped the brakes on these cards. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org.
In a few minutes, Facebook CEO and founder Mark Zuckerberg will be back in the congressional hot seat after testifying for some 5 hours yesterday. Zuckerberg said he's sorry that the data from millions of Facebook profiles had been mined without permission. In addition to this trip to the principal's office, Facebook's privacy issues have also prompted a delete Facebook movement. Thing is, some groups rely heavily on social media to organize, among them Native Americans who often live far away from each other. From Public Radio's Mountain West News Bureau in Montana, Nate Hedgie reports.
Brianna Lamb pulls out her phone and fires off a quick Facebook post.
It was 22 missing, 32 murdered.
And now you're posting it.
And now it's posted.
We're at the state capitol in Helena, Montana. Lamb is a member of the Gros Ventre tribe. She's also an activist within the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Movement. She's in Helena to listen to testimony about how many Native American women have been murdered in Montana over the past few decades. Lamb says Facebook has allowed her to connect with relatives of women who have disappeared or have been killed across North America.
I actually have had parents of girls who have been murdered reach out to me through Facebook and message me thanking me for the work that I do.
She also uses Facebook to organize marches, teach-ins, and connect with other Indigenous people from California to Alberta, Canada.
Through social media, we've been able to connect and share and expand our networks. And because essentially we're all doing the same work and no one person owns a movement, so we can all collaborate and share and move forward together.
Social media is vital to Native Americans for a number of reasons. It's helped people on reservations keep track of dangerous water shortages, road closing blizzards, bad floods, and organizing social movements. Patrick Uwaki is a member of the Zuni Pueblo tribe in New Mexico. In 2016, he says Facebook got his dad to attend the protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline.
He saw through Facebook and through other social media what was happening on Standing Rock.
Uwaki organizes Facebook campaigns for Indigenous movements like the pipeline protest and Native Lives Matter. But he's also wary of Facebook. He says when he was at Standing Rock, police and private security firms would use the social media platform to keep an eye on activists.
There is a fine balance about like who is recording that data and keeping it, rather than, you know, using it as a tool to be able to spread your message.
But Uwaki says he won't stop using Facebook to spread that message anytime soon. In Helena, Montana, I'm Nate Hedgie for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.